Good morning. Today is Tuesday, the day after December the 26th. Joining us this morning is Fortuna City Manager Mark Wheatley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. And
no coals in the stocking.
No coals.
It was, all right.
It was a good year.
Doesn't matter how cold it is. No coals in the stocking.
That's right. It was cold, but no coal. Yes.
Yes. Our quote this morning comes from George Burns. The main thing about acting is honesty. If you can fake that, you got it made.
That's words of wisdom.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. You were almost going to say something about being political, too, weren't you? Oh, boy. So you've almost been at the helm for a year now, huh?
Just about. You know, yeah. Just about. I'm about two-thirds through that first year. So, yeah, things are...
How does it look from your side of the desk versus... the other side of the desk.
I've gained great appreciation for the other side of the desk. That's for sure. That is for sure. And, you know, it's been great. You know, it all comes down to having great staff, and we have great staff. We have a good group of people, a lot of people that have been there for a while. So, you know, we're kind of a small in numbers in some ways, but everyone makes up for it in tenacity. So it's a good group. I enjoy working with them. The council's been great, and it's been a good year. I'm looking forward to this next year.
Election year?
Well, not for that reason.
Okay. So how, you know, when someone gets on a board or a commission or a committee or that kind of thing, when there's paid staff, one of the basic tenets is don't get involved in the day-to-day. That's not your job. That's not the function. That's the function of the guys that take the salary. How tough was it as an elected to remember that?
It is tough. That is tough. The temptation is to forget that you're that council manager relationship and go straight to the staff person because you know you have a working relationship. And if you've been there for a while, and I had served 12 years on the Arcata Council, so I was pretty familiar with the staff, but, you know, you always have to be mindful and respectful of that relationship because, you know, that's the city manager's job, and it's not the job of the council to go cherry-pick staff people and ask them to do things. So,
well, and I would think it puts the staff in a really uncomfortable position. Now, do I say no to my boss's boss? That's probably not a good, strong, solid career move. But yet, on the other hand, if you've got other stuff that you're supposed to do, you don't want to leave that at risk. And then you get busted for not doing your job. It's really a lose-lose from their perspective.
It's absolutely. And it's a very delicate relationship there. And you need to be, you know, you can't cross that line as tempting as it can be. I mean, there are times when it's, you know, simple things that make sense. You're not having to go back through the manager and you're there with a staff person and you can talk about something and kind of work through something. But when you're trying to, you know, everybody's got limited time, limited resources, and you have to be, you know, it's a team decision. You know, what is a priority? What are we going to spend our staff time on? And that's where the council collectively, you know, conveys that message through their manager, and the manager then works with the staff to implement that. So
and it's a continuum, I would think also. If there's a pothole in front of your house, okay, great. Or in front of a business, okay? So you get the call from the business guy. Okay, you call Public Works and say, hey, guys, there's a pothole in front of one to let you know. Boom. Now, somebody may read in there implied. Okay, but okay, information. Versus, there's a pothole in front of somebody's business. We want to have that taken care of, don't we? Now it ramps up to, it will be taken care of. Yeah. So,
yeah,
and I would think it's intent as much as anything when that call gets made or that contact is, or you're standing next to somebody or you're in the restaurant or the grocery store together.
Absolutely. And, you know, being on the manager side, you know, you, while as an elected, everyone comes to you with both kudos and complaints. I learned shopping to always get my ice cream last because it would be melted by the time I got to the checkout stand. But the manager and staff, they're the ones that have to field the day-to-day calls, complaints, and issues that, you know, sometimes happen on a daily basis, but the council doesn't see. You know, sometimes people think, well, I've got to call the mayor on this one or else nothing will happen. So, you know, you try to avoid that. You try to avoid that if you can.
Well, and Fortuna's got a little bit different dynamic than Arcata has because of the turnover in the community in Arcata is so much more because of the student population. Where in Fortuna, you get, you know, people have grown up together.
Absolutely.
For a couple of generations. And I know your grandma and your grandma knows me and, you know, that kind of, that I would think could add either another layer of cool or another layer of complexity that just makes small town different than different.
You're absolutely towns. Right. You know, you have a little bit of that in Arcata, but you're right with the college town. You do have that turnover and, you know, there's always a mix of, you know, some people that know nothing. They're just brand new in town. And then, but it does sometimes add another layer of complexity when you have people that are, you know, their uncle knows somebody that went to school and they went to high school together and, you know, and which is great. You know, you got this, you know, fabric of community that goes deep and back, but it does kind of, you know, you got to be careful whose toes you're stepping on sometimes.
Or at least recognize that there are toes there to step on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and I think that's probably going to be one of the cool things now with the kids winning the state championship. Now, there's a benchmark, and everybody there now remembers when, and there's a commonality to that, and that will be built on into the future also.
Absolutely. There's a lot of young good men that came out of that experience that are going to be in that community and are going to be the building blocks for the future.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Weekly. Mark, the concept of planning is something that I think a lot of us outside of government see either as a nicety, you know, it's an exercise, okay, good. And either it's cast in concrete or it's built with marshmallows. Yeah, the two extremes.
Yeah.
What is... You know, you're now midterm in the fiscal year. The budget that you had adopted to go into effect July 1st now is halfway through. Was it built in concrete or was it built with marshmallows?
It was built in concrete. It was really built in concrete. And we, and you know, it's a smaller budget than what the city of Arcata had. And so things are tight, and you know. But it's been a very good year, you know, economic growth. We're all sectors were up. I think since the last quarter, everything across the board is about a 7% increase, which is double what the county's sales tax rate was. We've gone through a number of things that have been, you know, you're talking about planning. Fiscal planning is one of those, you know, kind of critical pieces of municipal government. And we spent a lot of time, my finance director and I, on refinancing some bonds, which in the end we took advantage of the bond market and came out ahead. We saved about $4 million over the life of the bond, so that's
a lot of kudos around on that one.
That was just timing. You know, we took advantage of timing and the market conditions, and so that saves ratepayers, you know, $300,000 a year for the next, you know, 20 plus years or so, and so that all worked out well. But you know, we're also trying to respond to things that are coming out. This was a pretty active legislative year for the state of California. There's, you know, 2,500 bills that were cycled through there, of which who knows how many of those actually mattered. But the bottom line was, I think there's three areas that the legislature focused in on and actually had some production out of. And that was in the realm of the gas, you know, transportation funding. So the gas tax is the outcome on that. Housing, there's a whole package of housing bills that came out of that. And then there's a park bond coming down the pike that will be on the ballot for voters in June. So, you know, those are three areas. All three of those areas, I think we're in a very good position to respond to in Fortuna. We're looking at some parkland expansion. We've got the McLean Community Center under construction. We've got some potential areas around that where we could expand some ball fields.
So the parks are city parks, not state park.
Correct. It'll be funding through. And actually, the way they set it up is there's a four cities, which they don't typically do this. There's a per capita allocation, and so cities like Fortuna, we will get a one-time shot of about $200,000 as a result of this park bond, which is really helpful for us.
For land, if it passes, for land acquisition or for infrastructure?
Both. It can be for both.
Whichever it is.
And then there'll be competitive programs for acquisition. So we're actively looking at some acquisitions right now to take advantage of some opportunities. And so, and then we, with that extra funding, that'd be great. It would be great for us. You know, the other thing on the house, we're in the process of updating our housing element, and you know, housing across the state is in such high demand. It's a
boy, is that obvious?
Yeah, boy, yeah. I'll say, and you know, it's a combination of the, you know, the feds kind of pulled back on funding for housing in the 80s, and then, you know, with the takeaway of redevelopment, that was the state's and local government's tool for affordable housing. And then with the crash of the, you know, the economy, it's like it's a perfect storm of things. And so,
well, throwing the fire, now you don't have resources to be able to build those houses.
Absolutely. And then, but I can already, you know, talking to people down in that region and some of the, you know, folks that are in the surrounding areas, they're going to probably, they'll see some economic benefit come out of this because of housing demand. Now there's going to be a boom of construction activity down there, and so you know, that's a tragic situation, but hopefully some good comes out of that. So yeah, it's sad to watch.
It'll be interesting now with the gas tax. I know the city of Eureka is licking their chops about it. I know that Tom at the county is licking his chops. I'm looking at it and going, wait a minute, you're presuming that people are going to stop driving or aren't going to stop driving or. If those numbers don't come through, is that okay?
That's going to be interesting to see. You know, that's the mechanism for funding highways and roads has traditionally been this, you know, gas tax mechanism. And which is presumed people are buying gas to drive their cars, and that's a pretty big bump, you know, for people. And so I have a feeling there will be people that will either convert to mass transit if it's available to them, or they may drive less. And you know, so you know, the numbers are there. There's not a lot of other options. There's things being talked about, but finding another mechanism to fund roads is going to be,
I'm a little simplistic in a lot of this. I just bump the registration fees.
Yeah,
then it doesn't matter what you drive, everybody gets tagged evenly.
Yeah, and you're right,
and it's not the freight guys getting hammered or the business community getting hammered, or like for me, it took filling up the truck 10 more bucks.
Right.
Well, guess what?
Right.
Yeah, you do that one once a week, and all of a sudden, yeah, there is impact. There is change. There is stuff going on. So it's there are different ways, but I'm sure that there are different support groups that were in opposition for certain things like that. Or you just pull the subsidy off for the fancy, the low fuel cars and
there you
use
go.
Those monies.
Right.
I got all kinds of ideas. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to talk shop this day after Christmas with Fortuna City Manager Mark Wheatley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, by Lolita Cheese Factory, and by Redec. Mark, the concept of mid-year readjustments, I know the state does it. They've got what their May revise, which has always kind of been goofy for me. Well, they're going to let you know the last 6 weeks before the end of the year, you suddenly are 10%. You're going to have to reduce a department by 10%. There's no way. You know, even if you shut it down, there's no way you're going to hit those numbers. So when you're looking at this, whether it's a May revise or the mid one, I guess that in theory is going to happen next month sometime, do you have any suspicions? Do you think that's going to be another one of those slash and burn kind of statements, or do you think it's going to be status quo?
Well, we've had a very fortunate year, and I think, you know, it's that tricky dance of projected and actuals, and we're right there.
Because, is the state right there, though?
The state, I'm not sure if everything is as rosy as they've projected, and I think the combination of all these fires across the state has definitely taken a toll on the state on many levels, you know, not just the loss of lives and homes and property damage, et cetera, but, you know, the reduction in commerce and travel and, you know, visitors into those regions. So that combination is definitely going to translate into a economic loss for a lot of areas.
But Fortuna, you said, is running about 7%.
Fortuna, yeah, we had a great couple quarters, and we had a very productive our last sales tax, which is, you know, going back a quarter now, but that we were booming. We had a lot of construction activity going on, and a lot of visitors coming through town, so those sectors really, really saw a growth. We're looking ahead now. We've had some salary savings. We've got a couple of new positions that hadn't been filled yet, so we had some salary savings in some of those areas. The measure, our sales tax measure, Measure E, which the voters approved a year ago, we're in our first year through that cycle, and you know, it's projected, it's better than our projections. We were, you know, looking at a 1.2, 1.3 million, and I think we'll probably hit 1.5, 1.67 even. So we're looking good on that front.
Now, is that going to be tuckaway money?
Some of that.
Rainy day funds, so
yes,
to speak?
Yes, some of that is. So we're trying to kind of, you know, get ourselves out of the red and, you know, eliminate any deficit we've had from the past. And then it's targeted for public safety and programs for youth and seniors in the community. So we've spent our first go round, you know, across all those areas. We're solid in the police department now. We have two new hires that were two of the best graduates out of the CR Academy. So we're both local kids, and we're really happy. So things are looking good for next year.
One of the things that I'm hearing on the street, and I know the county is more biased in this direction, but it certainly has impacted Fortuna too, even though you guys are not allowing or permitting a lot of the stuff, is that I heard last week that marijuana is down to $400 a pound. Another in a conversation I had said it might be down as low as $200 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly changes that landscape significantly from $2,500 to, let's say, $400. You go with the higher of the two. You guys have got some retailers that are in that niche. If it pans out this way, Fortuna's still okay?
We're doing great. In fact, we've had a couple of businesses that have come down and wanted to relocate to Fortuna just for that very reason, that we're not going to get involved in that. We don't really want to have anything to do with it. I don't see it as the economic panacea that it keeps being touted as. And we've seen people that have been dislocated from other cities, and they want to come to Fortuna because they know that we'll have a welcoming home for them and a stable environment. And you know, we'll be looking into the next year. You know, with Prop 64, we've done our ordinance, which allows for personal cultivation of six plants, just like everywhere in the state. But we've tried to set that up, being very mindful about health and safety issues, and I'm really hopeful that we don't see an increase in fires and things like that, because people cut corners and trying to do that kind of indoor agricultural activity, and mistakes get made.
Yeah, overloading systems and
yes.
things like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's I remember. In Arcata, at its peak, before we did the grow house ordinance, it was half of our fires were grow house related. And so, you know, we don't want to see people. And we're trying to encourage people, if they're going to grow, to do it in a detached, structure, because it's not really a healthy environment to have that kind of thing going on in your home, especially if you've got kids.
Well, or anybody.
Or anybody, exactly.
KIAS News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mark Wheatley. It's 8:45. Mark, the area is certainly needing things. You guys have got one of those things in the middle of town. The old mill site. Need property, flat property, it's there. Now, okay, we knocked down the pampas grass, and now it's visible flat property. Are people still snooping, or is there activity? We've heard, go back to when Regan was city manager, there was sniffing, and it seemed like it was going to be active. And I don't know, has it gone into the permitting process? Has it had changes? What's going on with that big old chunk of potential?
We are getting very close to having, I think a formal proposal on the table, and we're looking at potential reuse of that site. You know, there's a It's a former mill site, and I think it probably is very compatible with being a mill once again. We have a proposal that is looking at trying to kind of develop the small diameter hardwood market, and do some niche manufacturing.
Small diameter? You mean branches or young trees?
Smaller trees.
Okay.
Yeah, smaller trees. Yeah. And for products, you have flooring and other related things. So, and then you know, there's some other ancillary things related to that that could come out of that. And we're hopeful all those pieces are coming together. We've been working with a developer and talking about that. They're putting their funding together. And I think with the economy, you know, really going into high gear here, I think market conditions are ripe for it. So,
well, a lot of people need wood flooring in Santa Rosa, I've been told.
Yeah. that's absolutely true, unfortunately. But yes, but you're right.
So as you look at that kind of stuff, that property has always been intriguing to me because of the proximity of the highway and the three or four different entrance points that are potential on it. So you really you could have one big one with nice traffic flow. You could have four or five with others. Is the infrastructure surrounding it able to withstand the development, or are you looking at significant improvements that the city was going to have to do when this place does come back up online?
We are looking at improvements. You know, yes, it functioned as a mill site and it was compatible with, you know, the surrounding uses. Was it great? Probably not. Could it be better? You bet. And, you know, currently there's a feasibility being looked at for improvements on 12th Street. That whole 12th Street off-ramp, on-ramp there is just sort of a nightmare hornet nest in itself. And so ways we've got a kind of almost like a double roundabout kind of, you know, thing looking at, because you got the way that bridge comes over and you've got an on ramp and an off ramp and trying to keep traffic flowing, and then you've got, you know, the I think it's Redwood there that comes across and
the frontage road
there. And anyway, so it's a combination of all the, I think it's School Road.
Is that Caltrans or is that
it will be
city?
It'll be Caltrans and the city, because it is part of that is within the Caltrans right away, and then part of that is within the city's
so
local
they're,
flow.
They're fans of roundabouts?
Well, you know, it seems to be working up there in Arcata.
Yeah, if you don't pay any attention to those skid marks.
Yeah, I think, you know, they could make them a little bit more freight truck friendly, you know, in some places, because there's definitely not making that curve
a little less severe, a little more flowy.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, that'll be fun to start to see and sense that inertia, because you know it's going to be a catapult for a whole bunch of other things.
Absolutely.
As those things start happening.
Absolutely.
Sounds like it'll be a good year.
It's going to be. We're looking forward to it.
Safe weekend, too.
All right. Hey,
Alrighty.
You too. Happy New Year.
See everybody tomorrow.